Hello, everybody, and welcome to Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Reza.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Are you rested after the festive season?
I had a lovely rest. We had a lovely trip, and we're ready to rock and roll with the podcast. How was your Christmas?
Nice and peaceful, visiting my mother. It was fine. Lots of turkey, lots of alcohol, lots of rest. Brilliant.
Good. Pleased to hear it. Pleased to hear it.
Have you made any New Year's resolutions?
Yes, more podcasting.
Quite agree.
More organisation and smile more.
Ah, that's tricky. I'll try.
In general. Uh-huh. If you are a new listener, welcome to the podcast. Reza and I are going to help you improve your English and take it to the next level. You can find more podcasts at inglespodcast.com and you can study English free. You're welcome to at mansioningles.com. In this episode, we have some grammar points, notably, I like to go, I like going, the difference between would and could, and expressions like I can't help plus gerund, I don't feel like plus gerund, and I didn't mean to plus infinitive. So before we start with those, some news. We have now a orange button on the webpage at inglespodcast.com and you can record your voice and send us a message, a spoken message. So we'd be very happy to receive your messages. Go to inglespodcast.com, turn on your microphone and send us a voice message. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to practice your English, why not tell us a because of my English story? For example, we could say because of our Spanish. Because of my Spanish, I travelled in South America, travelled in Argentina, and I spoke to people in Spanish, which was wonderful. So because of my Spanish, I enjoyed my trip much better. Do you have a because of my Spanish
Yes. This
week, Reza?
Well, it goes back to a few years ago, but I haven't told the listeners yet. A couple of years ago, because of my Spanish, I was able to meet some lovely people in the Belfast Spanish meetup group.
Right. Okay.
And what we all had in common was we spoke to varying degrees Spanish. There were some native Spanish speakers, and there were some local people. There were some people of other nationalities, like Romanians, Italians. But the one thing we had in common was Spanish language, so I got to meet some lovely people.
So Spanish was a language that brought you together and you were speaking in Spanish as a group. That's wonderful.
That's wonderful.
So if you have a because of my English story, please let us know. Send us an email or record your voice on the website. Okay, shall we go into the feedback this week? Our first message, Reza, is from Hector from Venezuela, who sent us a message on Twitter. And Hector says, la expresión, I like to go on holiday. ¿Por qué se usa to go y no se usa going? I like going on holiday. Going como gerundio.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Reza?
Well, why do you use I like to go on holiday and not I like going? Well, Hector, beg your pardon, I would say you can use both. Grammatically, they're both possible, either gerund or infinitive. But perhaps there's a slight difference in meaning. What would you say, Craig?
I agree, and I like the example, I like to get up early and I like getting up early. Now, let me ask you a question, Reza. When you work here at the school on Saturday mornings and you have to get up really early, do you like doing it?
I don't like getting up early, no.
I hate getting up early. But if I get up early, I can have a nice breakfast, I can have a shower, I can wake up, I can prepare my lesson, I'm not rushing. So I like to get up early because of this result.
Mm-hmm.
So if you agree with that, what I say is that when it's an infinitive, it's the result of doing it that is an advantage for you.
Ah, so
But not the activity.
I see. You like to get up early because of the result of that. You can do many things because you've got up early. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. I don't like getting up early.
In general.
I don't like the activity of doing it. Mm-hmm. I don't like the activity of getting up early.
Okay.
So with Hector's example, What does he say? He says, I like to go on holiday. Well, maybe he likes to go on holiday because he can relax, because he can unwind, because he can get rid of, remove the stress. Uh-huh. But the activity of going on holiday is... It's very, very similar with that example, but I think there is a very small difference mm-hmm. between the infinitive and the gerund. And as you say, both are correct.
Yeah.
Moving on, we have an email from Sonia, who says, Hi, Reza and Craig.
Hello, Sonia.
Hello, Sonia. I'm a new listener of your podcast. We're pleased to hear it. I found it by chance surfing on iTunes. And I'm delighted with it. Well, thank you, Sonia. We hope you've left us a few stars and a small review on iTunes. Last night, I listened to the podcast on clauses and sentences, which is Aprender Inglés con Rezi Craig, episode 35. And I felt that you weren't sure about how to say the phrase in Spanish, clause. Well, Sonia says it's sintagma. Syntagmas usually have a surname, in inverted commas, just like in English, you say noun phrase. Mm-hmm. We say syntagma nominal, mm-hmm. or adjetival, verbal, adverbial, and prepositional. So, sorry, not clause, a phrase. So, what
syntagma is a phrase, yeah?
Syntagma is a phrase, but it has another word with it. So, it's like a syntagma verbal or syntagma adverbial, etc.
That's a phrase. So, what about a clause then?
Would be, we said that in the episode. What did we say?
I thought it was oración.
Oración.
Frase is sentence.
Frase is sentence.
And yep. I think oración is the technical word for clause. So I didn't know, Sonia, that syntagma was phrase. That's useful to know.
No, we didn't know. And thank you very much for telling us. And Sonia says, I hope it helps. You helped me with my English, and I just wanted to help you with your Spanish.
Thanks.
Thank you for your podcasts, Sonia. Thanks, Sonia. Next, we have an email from John. I listen to your podcast when I return to my home by train every evening. And the time flies, which I really liked that expression that John uses. The time flies. Very good, John. I have a question for you. When do I use the modal verb would and when do I need to use could? So the difference between would and could. Thank you very much.
What do you reckon?
Well... Do you want to start?
Okay, if I must. Well,
you could.
I could, yeah.
Could, ability in the past. Could and couldn't. Like yes. The past of can and can't. That's okay. One use.
Well, whoa. Get ahead of ourselves. Let's start with the basics because...
Okay.
Let's start from the beginning, as they say. What is could? What is could to you?
It's a modal verb.
Mm-hmm. Where does it come from?
Where does it come from?
I mean, can you relate it to any other word?
Well, one word that comes to mind is can, but then could is not only the past of can.
Indeed not. It's also the conditional of can.
Correct.
Right, but it definitely is related to can.
Yes.
There's no doubt about it. So we'll say this in Spanish because it's particularly of interest to Spaniards, I think. I know we don't want to speak too much Spanish, but this is interesting. So could is the past of can. In other words, I could see him, podía verlo, podía. But it's also the conditional. If I say to you, I could see him, maybe it's yo podría. Mm. Podría with R. So it's sometimes the past and it's sometimes the conditional, which is odd because in Spanish they're completely different words. Spanish is logical. English isn't. So true. That's one thing about could. Another thing about could is could really... can be a form of something plus would. Would is to make the conditional. If you want to make a conditional, you need would. For example, what we talked about a few episodes back in conditionals, if listeners recall, if I won the lottery, I would buy a big house. We've done conditionals.
Yes.
I would buy a big house. That's what I would do in my imagination. It hasn't happened yet. I'm imagining about the future, so I use would. Would for conditional sentences. And would is used to form the conditional. Now, could can be effectively would plus be able. I would be able is could.
Mm-hmm.
If I won the lottery, I could buy lots of things. I would be able to buy a lot of things. Could can equal would be able.
If you could change a law or invent a new law, what law would you change or introduce? If you could change a law.
That's a good question. That's a very good question.
If I could change a law, I would introduce a 3 or 4 day week. Oh. I'd have a 3 or 4 day weekend, and I'd make it a law that businesses close for 3 days so that I could have a 4 day week.
Uh-huh. That's a very good example. I like that because you're using could and would. You said if you could, in other words,
if it was possible, if it was possible,
then what you would do.
Uh-huh. But a hypothetical situation because it's not a strong possibility of happening, so hypothetical.
Yeah, so could can be a possibility of something imagined, whereas would is just something imagined. If I won the lottery, I would buy a big house. If I won the lottery, I could buy a big house. That means I would be able to, but I'm not saying that I would do it.
Right. Right, okay. That's clear.
Okay, mm-hmm. And then there's other uses, of course. We did say that could is the past of can. So when I was a child in the past, I could run very far. Now, I can't.
When I lived in London, I could drive on the left. But now in Spain, I can't. I have to drive on the right.
Another way you could say that, Craig, would be when you were in London, you were able to drive on the left.
Exactly. The meaning's the same, isn't it?
Yeah.
The meaning's the same. In the UK, we couldn't sit outside in December and drink coffee. Mm-hmm. But in Valencia, we can.
You said couldn't there, yeah? The negative form.
The negative.
Yeah.
We couldn't sit outside. It was too cold. It wasn't possible. We were not able to do it.
Couldn't, could not. For me, it's very easy to hear the negative. I'm a native speaker. However, for Spanish speakers, it can be quite difficult sometimes to distinguish between the positive and the negative.
That's true.
Because we usually, when we speak, use the contracted form. We don't usually say could not or would not. We usually say couldn't. Or wouldn't. So, listeners, you've got to look out for that int. The end. To
but make it but you're being very nice, Reza, because you're slightly pronouncing the at the end, and in very often with native speeches with native speakers that doesn't happen. They say couldn't. Yeah. I would say couldn't. I wouldn't say couldn't.
Yeah.
So be careful with that. Be careful of the negative. Could and couldn't.
I guess if you just look out for two syllable sounds, then you know it's negative. If it's just could, it's positive. But if you hear two syllables, even not well pronounced, like couldn't.
Couldn't.
If there are two syllables, couldn't, then you know it's negative.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're not saying that the listeners should be able to speak like that, but you have to be able to understand native speakers because they are going to speak like that.
Absolutely. And what about polite requests with could? That's another use of could, isn't it?
Or indeed would, I would say, for both of them. Could you pass me the salt, please? At the dinner table?
Could you sit nearer to the microphone?
We could also say, would you pass me the salt, please? Or mm-hmm. would you sit nearer to the microphone?
Yep. Which do you think would be more common? Would you, could you?
Could, I think, is more
could,
common.
Could you, please? And it's quite polite, isn't it? It's more polite, perhaps, than can. Can you, could you?
Yeah. Yep.
A little more polite. Mm-hmm. Are there any other uses of could that you could think of?
Could that I could think of? Well, I could. Do you want me to tell you?
Yes, please.
Both could and would, in fact, are often used in reported speech.
Yes.
Because we said could is the past of can, in a way, and would is effectively the past of will, if you like. So, imagine I say to you, I will see you tomorrow.
Reza said that he would see me tomorrow.
That's it. So when you need to express will, but as a past, let's say, change it to would. And the same for can, change it to could.
Can you lend me 50 euros?
Craig asked if I could lend him 50 euros.
That wasn't an example, that was an actual
request. Oh, right, no, I'm afraid I couldn't.
Because after Christmas you are broke, you have no money. I totally understand.
I'm afraid I couldn't.
You couldn't.
I could also say, I'm afraid I can't. But couldn't is a slightly more polite refusal. Mm. I'm afraid I couldn't.
And I remember reading that if you distance yourself from the speaker or the listener with the past tenses, it's usually more polite. Because would is the past of will, so you're adding politeness. Could is the past of can, you're adding politeness. I was wondering is more polite than I'm wondering, for example. That past tense gives more distance, so it's more polite.
Yeah. It makes it more unreal, therefore more indirect, more impersonal, more polite.
Exactly.
But Spanish speakers shouldn't have a problem with this because they do the same by going into subjunctives and past subjunctives. Like they say, ¿podría usted ayudarme? Could you help me? They do the same in Spanish. ¿Podría usted? Although in Spanish it sounds extremely, extremely formal. However, in English, I think it's more common.
Yes, absolutely. So, to make polite offers, for example, would you like a cup of tea? Would you like a biscuit? And also remember, listeners, not to use to after modal verbs like should, could, and would. So you do not use to after these modal verbs.
Except the exception we mentioned not long ago of ought to.
Yeah, and have to.
Yep.
And need to.
Okay, a few exceptions, in fact, but generally not.
Definitely not with can, could, would, will, and should, etc. Any other comments, Reza, before we move on?
I can't think of any more.
Me neither. I think we'll leave it there. Okay. If that is not clear, John, if you have another question, then please, please send us an email or record your voice on the webpage, and we will continue to speak about could and would in a future episode. Another question from a student of mine, Pau, from my Saturday class here at the British Council. Pau has questions about three expressions in English, and he gives examples. The first one, I can't help. His example, it's impossible for me not to laugh when he starts singing. I can't help laughing when he starts singing.
That's a very common expression, isn't it?
It is, isn't it?
Book in English.
So, I can't help doing something. Is there a translation in Spanish that you can think of? I can't help laughing. I can't help saying something. I can't help doing something.
Nothing springs to mind immediately. I'm sure there is a way in Spanish of saying it, but nothing springs to mind as common as that fixed expression in English.
What about no puedo evitar? Is that similar? I can't help laughing. No puedo evitar reírme.
Yeah, but it's not. It doesn't sound as good in Spanish. It doesn't sound like a fixed. It's not really a fixed expression in Spanish. It's just a way of saying it. Whereas in English, it's a fixed structure. Can't help plus an ing means you're unable to resist the temptation.
Exactly. I can't help feeling sorry for him. I can't help laughing when he says this.
Reza can't help mentioning Mickey Mouse in some podcast. In other words, I should resist, but I can't.
I can't help eating chocolate when it's in front of me. I always eat it. Another expression that Powell mentions is, I really don't want to go out this evening. I really don't feel like going out. So it's this feel like plus gerund. I don't feel like doing something.
I can translate that easy enough. Can you? I think it's apetecer.
Yeah, I agree.
No me apetece salir.
No me apetece. Exactly. Realmente no me apetece salir esta noche. I really don't feel like going out this evening. Is there something that you don't feel like doing at the moment?
I don't feel like doing all the corrections I have to do, but I'm afraid they're obligatory.
I don't feel like working this afternoon, but I have to. And finally, it's obvious he shot himself in the foot by accident. He obviously didn't mean to shoot himself in the foot. So, not to mean to do something. He didn't mean to do it.
Mean plus infinitive.
Mean plus infinitive. Which, as a translation I have here, él no tenía intención de pegarse un tiro en el pie.
It wasn't his intention. So, to do something means... Oh, I've said mean twice. Mean to do something means, the second means is significa. Tener la intención. Mean has quite a lot of uses in English, actually.
I had a student once said to me, what does mean mean?
Yeah, yeah. There's no other way to say it, is there? Que significa mean?
What does mean mean? Mean means mean. Yeah. So I hope that helps you, pal. Moving on to pronunciation, and I have 5 more words which may be difficult for Spanish speakers to pronounce. And they are biscuit, minute, cut, laugh, and vegetables.
Oh, yes.
The first one, biscuit, again, the same problem that could be here for Spanish speakers who read 2 vowels and pronounce both vowels as you would naturally in Spanish. It's not biscuit, biscuit. It's just one vowel sound, and the vowel sound is I in the second syllable. So it's biscuit, biscuit. And the stress is on the first syllable, biscuit, biscuit. One of my favorite words. I love biscuits.
Me too.
I love biscuits. And similar with the second word, minute, because there's a U in the second syllable, so M-I-N-U-T-E. Some Spanish speakers pronounce that minute. Mm-hmm. Minute.
I'm reading the word, Craig, here. You said M-I-N-U-T-E. What if I said minute? Would you accept that pronunciation? Minute.
Well, I would accept it, but minute is an adjective and minute is a noun.
Yes, it's a completely different word.
Right.
There happens to be another meaning of that word with different pronunciation.
So minute, very, very small, minute piece.
Particle.
Particle, exactly. A minute thing, very, very tiny, very, very small. And the noun minute.
Minutes, have the same spelling.
Have the same spelling, yeah. But it's clear from the context and it will be clear in written English, because you'd see it's an adjective, it will be before a noun, so a minute particle.
I find that Spanish speakers can't pronounce either word.
It's quite difficult, yeah. But the vowel sound is the same in both syllables, so I. So it's mi-nit, minute, minute. 2 minutes,
the first vowel
minutes.
Sound. But the second one's different. And in the adjective, it's minute.
In the adjective, yeah, in the adjective you've got 2 separate vowel sounds. So in the adjective minute, it's my, which is similar to I or y or tie. And the second vowel sound, you, like you, the letter, or you and me. So minute, minute, a minute particle. Next word we have is cortar, the verb to cut, which many of my students pronounce cut.
Yeah.
Do yours
yeah,
pronounce it cut.
It's a classic error, isn't
yeah.
it? Cut, cut, cut.
So the vowel sound is a, as in up or...
Bus.
Bus. Yeah.
Uncle.
Uncle. Yeah.
A difficult vowel sound.
Cut. Cut. And the next word, laugh, because the spelling is a bit tricky, a bit difficult. It's L-A-U-G-H. So the final 2 consonants have the F sound. So laugh. And the vowel sound, R, like car or far. So the pronunciation is laugh.
Incorrect standard English pronunciation. But you will meet many English people. That's right, English from England, people who don't say that. For example, go up to Manchester and see what they say up there.
I would suspect they say laugh.
Bath.
They say laugh.
All the words like that come laugh. Out differently.
Yeah.
Oh, I did laugh.
I laughed. What would you say in Belfast?
Laugh. A little bit shorter than you.
Mm-hmm. But not as short as the north of England.
No, they're more extreme, I think. Laugh.
Yeah. But in the south of England, probably you will hear laugh. And finally, vegetables. How many syllables? 3, right?
3.
Vegetables. The first syllable is stressed. Vegetables. Meat and vegetables. Of course, the mistake many Spanish speakers make is to put 4 syllables in that word. Vegetables. No, it's vegetables. Vegetables. So, one more time to repeat these 5 words. Biscuit, minute, cut, laugh, vegetables. Reza, maybe you could repeat them so that we get a Belfast accent.
Biscuit, minute, cut, laugh, vegetables.
Excellent. I think quite similar. Very similar. Yeah. Moving on to our vocabulary section. And this week, continuing with our theme of in the home, I thought we could look at words in the garden. In the garden. Did you have a garden? Did you grow up with a garden?
Two, yeah. Front and a back garden, which is quite common in Britain and Ireland.
And did you mow the lawn?
Indeed I did. And you?
Yes, I did.
Cut the grass?
I cut the grass. I mowed the lawn. Lawn in Spanish is césped. And we cut the lawn or mowed the lawn with a lawnmower. A lawnmower. Bench is common in some gardens and very often in parks. Bench is banco. A bench.
Not banco de dinero.
No, no.
Banco de sentarse.
De sentarse. Bench. A bench in the park. And in the front of the house, and sometimes the back, but going from the entrance, the gate, to the front door, it's very common to have a path, which is, I think, is camino or sendero, a path.
Path, or as they might say in Manchester, a path.
Or a path, yeah. Walk along the path in Manchester, or a path. What would you say?
Path.
Path.
Somewhere between you and Manchester. Yeah. Somewhere in the middle.
Carretilla. Carretilla is wheelbarrow.
Ooh, that's a good word.
Wheelbarrow.
I'm impressed at your Spanish. I didn't know that, I must say.
The only reason I know it is because it's here on the paper, but I'd never heard the word carretilla, and I never had cause to use carretilla here in Spain.
I bet you're pretty handy. Handy is you're
useful.
Good with something. I bet you're pretty handy with a wheelbarrow. You've worked with wheelbarrows before.
I have. I used to work on a construction site. I used to fill up a wheelbarrow with cement and sand sometimes when I was working in construction. Have you used a wheelbarrow?
From time to time in a garden. Mm. Not a lot.
Did you have a shed in your house? Cobertizo. Cobertizo, a shed.
Actually, we didn't. Many people do, but we didn't. Mm. Did you?
We did. We did for a while, and then my dad knocked it down. He took it away. He took it. He destroyed it. He knocked it down.
Why? Was it destroying the view out of your window, perhaps?
No, it was old, and the wood was rotting, and he didn't use it. So he knocked it down, and he planted some flowers.
Well, what kind of things do people normally store in their shed?
Tools. Things
like the lawnmower, things like that.
The lawnmower, rakes, palas, which are spades, maybe manguera, hose pipes in the shed.
To water the grass.
Mm-hmm. And one thing we didn't have, we had a shed, but we didn't have a greenhouse or a hothouse.
Ah.
Invernadero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, una casa verde.
No.
Not.
Well, it could be, but the stress would change. A greenhouse, the stress on the first syllable is invernadero, but a greenhouse, when you change the stress, becomes una casa verde.
And also, I would write greenhouse as one word.
Also.
And whereas a greenhouse, una casa verde, I would write it as two words.
Exactly.
Tell you what I did have in my garden, a little bit old-fashioned perhaps, but it's still there, but not in use, a coal bunker.
Really?
Yep.
We had coal sheds. Now I remember. We had coal sheds.
Oh, you call it a coal shed. Yeah. That's interesting. Yes, you can call it that, but we only called it a coal bunker.
No, because it was a shed. It was like a brick, a low brick shed with a wooden door that you opened, and then the coal was inside. And I remember the coal being in there, although we never actually used it for the fire. But I remember you saying in a past episode you used to shovel the coal and take it into the house, probably in a wheelbarrow.
No, on the shovel.
On the shovel? You took it in the shovel?
It was very near the back door. Mm-hmm. So I just had to take a few steps out into the freezing cold in winter while my parents enjoyed the warmth of the house, get the coal from the bunker, and then on the shovel, shovel it into the fire.
Right. One thing we did have in the garden, too much of, weeds. I used to have to remove the weeds. That was my job on a Sunday. Malas hierbas. Weeds. Did you have weeds in your garden?
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't suffer from weeds?
Mm. And the verb to dig. Cavar, to dig the garden or to dig the weeds is another useful verb. So you dig with a spade, una pala, or a shovel. Dig the weeds and dig the garden. One final word, Reza, before we go. Hedge. H-E-D-G-E, which, again, very common in Ireland, very common in the UK. Mm-hmm. Settle is hedge.
So
we had a hedge in our garden.
Very common, isn't it, around the garden. It's also very common all over Britain and Ireland. You find hedges all along roads, don't you?
You do.
Very unusual in Spain, but totally normal in the countryside in England and Ireland.
And one thing I checked, because you know the word, the expression hedge fund?
Oh, yes.
I just wondered if seto was in the expression hedge fund. It isn't. Hedge fund in Spanish is fondo de cobertura. Hedge funds are very much in the news recently with banks and malgastado el dinero. Yeah. So that's it from us this episode. If you need help with a question about grammar, vocabulary, pronunciation, or anything related to English, send us an email to craig@inglespodcast.com or to reza@belfastreza@gmail.com. You can also leave us a voice message on the website at inglespodcast.com. And don't miss a podcast episode. Why not subscribe to our email newsletter at inglespodcast.com? We will send you a monthly email of all our podcasts from that month. And remember to learn English free at mansioningles.com. So I think Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year, everybody. Take care.
And we'll see you in the next episode.
Bye-bye.
It's Happy New Year from me.
And it's Happy New Year from me.
Goodbye. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later and is licensed by Creative Commons under a by NY license at ccmixter.org.